Welcome to the Hermit's Lamp podcast. I'm Andrew McGregor, and in these podcasts, I will be talking with spiritual people, readers, diviners, and people walking different paths to bring out different concepts about how do we live in the world with spirit, and what is it that divination and other tools can do to help us live a better and more fulfilling life. On this week's episode, I have Rana George, a delightful Lenormand and tarot reader, who's here with me to talk about prediction in the future and how we can utilize the cards to get the most out of understanding what might be coming our way or the implications of our choices. Tell us a little bit about yourself so that everybody here can get a sense of who you are.
Hi, thank you for having me. It's really an honor. I'm happy to see you again. My name is Rana George. I've been doing Lenormand since I was a very early teenager. And it was something normal to me. It wasn't like it was in my family and I grew up around it. So it was a natural thing. So I didn't, it wasn't a big deal that I needed to get into and see the history and all that kind of stuff. So I didn't know anything about it until like later in life, until I discovered, well, what is this deck I'm using, and then I discovered the whole world of tarot and everything else with it. And basically that's it. And now I'm teaching Lenormand, and I really, really wish and want, and it's my, like, really would love everybody to get to know Lenormand and how useful of a tool it is. It's like an amazing, it's like somebody that just got a new iPad or something, and they can, like, you know, use it to get on, you know, new sites, and so it's amazing, and this is what I'm trying to do.
Excellent. Well, I was in Dallas last October with Rana and some other people at a conference, and one of the things that I've discovered about Lenormand after hitting snooze on it for a long time and thinking I just don't have the time to pick up something new and really, what's the actual value of picking something extra up when I'm already, you know, been reading tarot cards for pushing towards 30 years. And although I think that one of the things that's very interesting about it, at least in my own experience, is I find it easier to read for myself. I find it, in a sense, it's more objective because the spread of possible meanings for a given card are much smaller. You know, I could talk for hours about any particular court card or any particular tarot card for hours and maybe days. But with the Lenormand, they're more pointed, right? They seem to me they're more focused. This is this problem. This is this strength. This is this character. And it takes away some of the guesswork from it. Yes. Does that seem true to you? Does that make sense?
Yes. The tarot is more for archetype. And it gets into your psyche and psychology. And it really gets really deep. And it hits on a lot of nerves that are very important. I mean, I love both. And I use both big time. The Lenormand is more... it's like when you're talking to your best friend about your problem, and tarot is when you want to go to a therapist. When you want like really heavy, you know, I see it more like it really gets under your skin and everything. And I always say, you know, like there's this Lebanese saying, when you see two couple that are perfect together, they say, oh my God, they look like a pot and its lid. And I think, you know, the tarot and Lenormand is like, you know, a pot and its lid, you know, the tarot is like that pot that's filled with all this underneath stuff and heavy and what's going on psychologically and from your childhood, what brought stuff to you right now and what is it doing to you now and how you can help heal. And then, you know, Lenormand is like very straightforward, you know, he's lying. That's it. Period. Mm-hmm. You know, it's very, you know, it's very pragmatic. It's very, tarot is much more flair and drama.
Yeah,
it's very, and they're both. I like both of them. I mean, they're both important, and they're both tools, very good tools. One is, you know, very sharp, and really cuts through everything, and the other one is more it gives you more information that you need to help people and counsel. So I definitely do use more depending on the client and depending on their need and what do they come with. You know, if somebody comes with like a trauma or a lot of psychological stuff and something that they need help with on a heavier, I will throw the grand tableau and see if we can do stuff. But mostly I'll start maybe with like a couple of cards of tarot and see what's going on there. And then, you know, we'll do the grand tableau and we'll do more Lenormand. So it depends on the client.
Mm-hmm. Well, I think you kind of touched on something here that sometimes looking at what's going to happen or what you can't see and what's going on, you know, because the Lenormand is more, at least in my understanding, it's more predictive. It's more about what is going on that you can't see. It's not psychic per se, because I think that when I read predictively with the tarot, I'm working with my guide and I'm working with psychic ability, and it relies less on the actual tarot itself, even though it's structured around that. Whereas when we're reading with the Lenormand and we're doing this grand tableau where there's all the cards are on the table and you know that where you show up in the reading, that's today, and then there's time in the future. And so if it shows up, you know, four cards down or six cards down, that's months or years or whatever you're working with. Yeah. So it's more structurally psychic. But what is helpful to know about the future? What's the benefit?
Okay. There's a lot of benefit, I believe, about knowing what's going to happen. Really, for me, from my experience and from what I've been doing, it gives empowerment. It gives you power to change, because I noticed that a lot of time we can actually change something that we don't like. And I always tell everybody that, you know, I've been doing this for a while, that I have certain clients that for years we did like this experiment and I wanted to see if we wanted, you know, we talked about it, like, can we try to see if we can change? Let's say if we can change things. And there's things I discovered, things can be changed, and things, no matter how much I throw, I throw down the card, it's still the same. It's still the same. It's still the same. So we do have some sort of power somewhere along the line. Mm-hmm. And if we cannot change it, at least we can prepare for it or be more relaxed about it. Because I see a lot of my clients when they know, like, oh my God, okay, so I'm not going to be able to sell my house for another 3 months. So they're more prepared, they're more at ease, they're not, you know, like very stressed. Why did not sell? Why did not, it didn't go this month? Why did not, you know, because they're very, okay, well, I have 3 months. So they're like more relaxed.
I totally get that. You know, we were talking before the show about, you know, I just finished renovating my new store and I had done the Lenormand reading before I started the work, just basically be like, all right, so I'm going to do all this work, got to renovate the store, got to move from one location to another. What do I need to know? How's it going to go and how am I going to handle it? And the thing that showed up in there very clearly was that there was sickness, you know, around, you know, the place where the kids could be, you know, maybe around my wife, you know, but that essentially the gist of the message I got was, it's going to turn out fine, but you can't count on your wife to be there helping you because the kids are going to be sick or she's going to be sick or both. And of course, it's exactly what happened. You know, the first day of work, we are here, you know, and I've got a couple other helpers because I already had this warning. I'm like, got to get it done fast. And we get a phone call from the school that she's got to go leave and go pick up the kids. You know, it's just like, there you go, done. And that sense that you're talking about, that I knew something was coming, even though I didn't know exactly how it would manifest. So when it happened, I was like, oh, okay then. Well, love you. Go pick up the kids. Thanks. And I'm going to be here putting up drywall. And it makes it so much easier to deal with versus the surprise of it where you're counting on something, you know?
It gives you like control, and it gives you like a sense of security and control. You know, that I like that. I like that. And also, next time you see something like this, you right away, like when I see, you know, even my son, when he comes, he wants to know about his big test at the weekend or, you know, at the end of the week, and I see something, like he's going to get sick, I start pumping him with all this, you know, elderberries, you know, everything, you know, powder, you know, kale, all that kind of stuff. You know, come on, eat this, you know, vitamin C, start pumping him with all that stuff. And he start, like, he takes it seriously and he start pumping himself. So he tried to counter the thing. And with his test, for example, when he's studying, he comes down to me and he's like, okay, so I pulled these three cards and I got, you know, the tower. What do you think it's telling me? And I'm like, because he's like frazzled. He's a very good reader. And I'm like, what do you think it tells you? He said, I think it tells me that I still need to study. I'm not done. I'm like, here you go.
Because keep going, lad. Keep going.
Keep at it, you know. Keep at it. Something is not done until, like, so he keeps pulling. And he's like, am I done now? And then he gets the hug. He's like, yeah, okay, I can go to sleep now. So a lot of time, you know, he comes, you know, and I'm like, oh, there's something hidden. You're forgetting a formula in your science or something. And then he's like, oh, I know exactly what you're talking about. And then he runs. Mm-hmm. So it is an amazing tool, and it's awesome to be used by anybody. And I just wish everybody can realize what it is and start using it. And, you know, you know what? There's one little, I would say, a con for the predictive, I would say, is the obsession.
Uh-huh. So that's exactly what I was going to ask you about next. What are the traps and dangers here, right?
Yeah. So depending on the personality of the client, mm-hmm. and how they can handle what they can hear or how they cannot handle it. I mean, this is where you come in and your gauge of that client, of how you can help them. There's some of them, they become very obsessed with the idea of what's going to happen. And this is where, you know, I have to tone it majorly down, the predictive. And I'm like, okay, you know, this is where I bring in, you know, tarot, even though I use tarot for predictive, but what the tarot does is helps me say it, the prediction, in a more counseling, therapeutic kind of way. Mm-hmm. So it makes me kind of become the sneaky, sneaky fox of saying what I want to say to my clients. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Like getting it to them without them going, you know, like,
It's one of the most frustrating parts of my job, and I'm sure you probably run into this too, is you get these people who come in and they say, you say whatever the reading shows, you know, it doesn't really matter. And then they, at the end they say, oh, but this person said this would never happen. Or this person said, you know, this person was the love of my life. And they pursue that person endlessly, even when all the facts show something to the contrary, you know? So that obsessive nature, or, you know, people who... You know, I remember talking with someone and they're like, uh-huh. And then they were like, well, but I'm a Gemini and that means I could never do that. And I'm like, really? Wow. And I knew them for a long time, you know, and they never moved past that, you know, because somebody, their nature or the way somebody delivered it, just put those hooks into them that they couldn't get past them, right?
Limitations. Mm-hmm. Yeah, we get all these limitation, and we have all these fears, and this is, I think, us as readers, we're here to help people break those, not add to them.
Mm-hmm. For sure. And so when you're doing predictions, mm-hmm. if we can control them, if we can affect the future, uh-huh. much of the time or some of the time, but not all of the time, uh-huh. how do you rely on this? How do you trust it? Or do you trust it?
I do. What do you mean? Like, how do I trust that I affected it?
Say, you know, you do a reading and it looks like it's good for you to get this job or for someone to get this job, right? Now, how does that person come to trust that? How do you come to trust it when you've still got to make choices in a relationship to this to make it happen?
Well, this is where you come in, as you give them empowerment, you send them all the time, you send them whatever the reading. If it's doom and gloom, you have to send them back with a lot of empowerment, with a lot of, you know, positive, in a way of, not positive, like, how do you say it? When you don't just talk about the problem. You give them solution and action on how to do what they need to do. Now, prediction, like, you know, how do I trust the prediction and all that kind of stuff? It is, how do you, it's always like in the back of my head. It's like a compass and it guides me. But it's not, it shouldn't be like 100%, oh my God, I have to live by this. Like when I go, when I talk to my client, I don't talk as in, oh my God, my word is set in stone. You know, I'm like, no, no, no. I mean, you can leave my door out my door right now and I don't know, do something totally different and go to a strip bar, for example, that you're not used to go to, or take a different route home, or even, you know, just drive up to New York, which instead of going home, anything you do that's out of the norm is going to change the dominoes that just fell down for that grand tableau. So this is how I know. See, things are always malleable and things are always changing and depending. This is why I think we have so much power. Like when people come to me for a reading, I tap into that line of that domino where it falls that they're on, like the path that they're on right now. If nothing changes, if they don't do anything out of the norm, this is, if it just keeps going the same way, this is that line. Mm-hmm. But if they do anything, it's just gonna, it's like they move their train to a different track.
Yeah.
And you could tap into, because there's all these different timeline, I believe, this is from reading all this time. This is how I keep discovering and figuring out and understanding how this thing is. You know, if you have a chance, check out that little YouTube thing, the 10th dimension. I mean, this explains like how every action and everything is happening and everything right now. And so this, it explains a lot in our reading, how our readings depends on the action of the individual. And when that individual leaves your space of reading, whatever action they're going to do, if they take your advice, that's going to give them a different path. If they don't, even if, you know, you predict something that's, you know, somebody's going to get sick, you know, you're prepared. Your mind is different. You're going to act differently. You're not going to get upset. You know, like, or make a big deal out of it that this is going to happen. Oh, my God, you know, you're not going to stress. I mean, there's so many things, but it's not total reliance. Does that make sense?
It does. You know, I think about it this way. If we're a point on a piece of paper, right, theoretically, we could set out in any direction, 360 degrees, but we're not going to. There's some little wedge shape of possibilities or probabilities that are where we're likely to go. And then as we move along, there are always a range of options within reach. But at the same time, people tend to make certain choices, you know, and so my idea of the predictive future is more of a statistical idea where it's like, you know, we're most likely going to go that way, we're most likely going to go this way. And you know, you'll see theoretically, anything can happen, and we do have free will to radically change it. But practically speaking, I'm not going to quit my job and go somewhere else.
Exactly.
Mm-hmm.
Exactly.
How do you tell people when there's something really like disturbing there? If you see like something tragic or dangerous or, you know, these kinds of things. How do you relate that to other people?
This is difficult. I have to assess the person and how they can handle the situation. Recently, this is funny you mentioned it because I just had this happen just really recently, like, you know, a couple of days ago. I had a client and I'm really thanking the universe and God and anybody that my client was an actual reader. So, and she was really worried about her dog. And, I knew the attachment she had with her dog. And when I just pulled three cards and it ended up with a coffin, there was no other way. It's just like, I knew. And I couldn't tell her any other way. I just showed her. It was on Skype. And I said, I don't know how to tell you this, but I would want you to be prepared and try to enjoy the time you have with him right now. Give him a lot of love right now and just be there with him right now. Don't stress out. Don't show him, you know, don't give that energy of stress. Just do pure love. And I mean, so I try to be, to give it in a positive on how, what she can do to be, I mean, of course I did it like three different way, the question, to see if I'm still getting the same. This is what I usually do. If I see something like really heavy, I don't right away blurt it. I want to make sure. I want to make sure of myself, even though like I have that feeling, but I'm always, I don't know, I'm human. I need to, you know, I just need that extra, like, I want to be sure. I want to make sure before I give that message that this is going to happen.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, she just called me that, you know, he just passed away and you know, she was crying and, it was a difficult time, very difficult time, but it helped her to know that the treatment wasn't going to work.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I mean? Like, I wouldn't say that I took hope away. I took the stress away.
Right.
You know, and I told her if, you know, if it worked, then it will be great. At least you're giving him love, you know? I mean, I am not, it could change. Again, nothing is set in stone, but this is what I'm seeing right now. This is what she wanted. So I didn't really come out and blurt it. I just showed her the card and the way I talked. So she kind of sensed and figured it out. It's hard, and it takes a lot of experience. It takes a lot of going through these to get to be able to do it. And even with that, for me, I still have I feel with the people a lot. So I will feel what they're feeling, and it kind of, my heart will go like this, you know, like,
mm-hmm.
Hell, you know what I mean?
So I'm curious, when you say you want to see it more than one way, do you mean within the same spread, or would you shuffle the cards up and do it again, or?
Yeah, I'll shuffle the cards up. I'll ask a different question. Like, for example, I shuffle the cards the first time and focus on the dog with the name of the dog, and I, you know, just focus on the dog and pull three cards. Like, just tell me what's going to happen. And I'll see, like, what happened. Is it three or five or seven or the nine, whatever I feel like I need to do. And then if I see, like, let's say I saw the coffin at the end, I'll be like, I will change my question. I'll pick the cards up again, shuffle again. And I'm like, oh, I want to try it differently. Now I'm going to focus on the dog and look for the dog card in the deck. And see what's the three card before and what's the three card after to see what's coming towards that dog. So it's not very general. It's more specific, you know, to that, you know, what's coming in the house. Then I'll, you know, if I'm still like kind of skeptical, then I'll see, okay, can you tell me about the health? You know, so I'll look for the tree or I would say, how is the treatment going to be? Or I would say, like, I keep on changing the question. You know, like this and like that. You know,
for sure.
That answer. I usually like go about two or three times, not more. Three is usually my max to just make sure. When it comes to the coffin.
Mm-hmm. That makes a lot of sense, and I love how you're phrasing the questions differently, how you're taking a different approach. You're not saying, "Is the dog going to die? Really, really?" Really, really? You know, because I mean, I've seen people do that, and I myself have, I'm sure we all have gotten caught in that mental loop. Like, is this really the, am I really seeing the outcome? And I think that notion of like asking the same question, that goes back to that obsessive thing, right? Like, it's not, you know, if it was asked and answered the first time and you didn't accept it,
yeah.
Well, what, how, you know, is time 3, 10, or 20? You know, and if you get like one different answer in amongst there, that's the answer you want. Well, then you're gonna latch onto that too, right? So,
exactly.
Yeah, definitely.
But usually, like when you ask like the different questions, 9 out of 10, you're gonna get the same answer no matter what question you ask. You're gonna get the same question, and I say 9 out of 10 because sometimes it does happen that I'm unfocused and I hit on, you know, the neighbor's dog or something. I mean, it does happen. It happened to me before, so.
Mm-hmm. My godfather always says only God is perfect, right? So you throw one in the mix just to confuse us and keep us humble, right? So
exactly. Yeah.
So I hear you've been teaching kids. How is that going for you?
I am loving it. I'm seeing that there's so many kids coming, like this new generation. I mean, I started with my boys a long time ago. You know, all my boys can read and they use it wonderfully. And I really believe that it's so important for kids right now to use these tools. They're helping them. It really helps them in school. It helps them with their life, with their friends. It helps them. I have a kid that was being bullied, and we drew cards on how to help him, get through it and how to help him and what, you know. And I used like both. I used tarot. I taught them tarot. Even my kids, they started off with tarot. And there's so many decks that are out there for kids that are amazing. You know, you have the gummy bear, you have the Fradella. For different, you have the whimsical, you have the, the fairy tale. There's so many different decks that appeals to the kids and the dragons and all that kind of stuff and the mythical. I mean, there's so much that appeal to different genres of kids. And I've been noticing that all these kids, this new generation that is coming, they're very natural. They're coming with this natural ability. It's so easy to them. They're coming, they blurt out, they see what they see, and they blurt it out, and they don't have these fears, they don't have these limitations, they don't have these fences that we build growing up. And I really want to push, you know, every reader, if they can start teaching kids, start with their own kids, and because I know some people like, oh my God, no, kids shouldn't, but this is like an amazing, it's like teaching them how to, I mean, all these kids are doing PlayStation and playing some major rough stuff the stuff that they play is, and you don't think they can handle a deck of cards. This is very important to me because I'm seeing the benefit that my kids and the kids I'm teaching, like, they're getting immense benefit just by, you know, when you, for example, start reading the signs, the symbols of Lenormand, you start seeing the sign, you start using a lot of your gut feeling. And then when you in nurture that, when you go and do this multiple choice, and you have, like, you know, four choice ABC, if you don't know, I'm teaching, like, you go straight to your gut feeling and you pick that answer. You know, you don't second doubt. So this is, oh my God, this is another thing. A lot of us readers, I know me, I struggled a lot with doubting myself and second guessing myself. It took me a good, I would say almost 30 years to really believe in my own, you know, ability and believe in myself that, yeah, I mean, even my mom was like, come on already. All this time I still like doubt. So this gives it to them since they were kids. If you keep on practicing and when they get that test and they see that they followed their gut feeling and they got an A or a B, they gives them more power. Yeah, I'm going to trust myself more. I'm going to trust myself more. And it's all like tools. This is tools to help them. That's it. I think I...
Well, I mean, in my house, I have a 4 and a 6-year-old. And they often play with the cards as well. Not so much Lenormand yet, but, I think that a lot of people worry about which deck to give to the kids and stuff like that. My kids play with the Thoth deck a lot, you know, which is not what people would use as a first choice. Yeah. But it's a deck that I spent most of my reading career working with. And ultimately, it's the one that... Especially if we need a quick intuitive answer, my wife and I both know it so utterly well that it's transparent to us. Whereas, like the other decks that tend to sit around the house, the Gaian Tarot, the Alora Tarot, you know, different decks that are just out in our home, neither of us are as familiar with them. Although we're getting there, so it can kind of derail stuff when you're just like looking for a quick hit. You're like, we'll go straight to the Thoth deck because we're just like it's transparent for us. And so, you know, my kids will play with that and, you know, they don't get scared, you know, and if they need a little help with it, you'd be like, okay, well, especially the little one, right? Well, how do you feel about this card? Like, I don't like it. I'm like, okay. So what would you, if you don't want to end up there, what else would you like to do? And they're like, maybe I will do this instead. And then I draw a different card and it's nice. And they're like, I like it. I'm like, good enough. What else do you need to know, right? We don't have to worry about, do they understand Kabbalah or the history of Lenormand or any of that? It's not relevant, you know? If it becomes relevant, well, that's dandy. They can get into it later, right? But let's foster their curiosity and their tools for exploring and expressing themselves and understanding the possibilities of their life. You know, I think that that's really fruitful and powerful.
I think so. I think it's like just another tool, just another game console. This is what I have them use it. I mean, and Lenormand, there's so many. There's, you can, the charms, the Magpie Oracle. Oh my God, my 9-year-old have a blast with it. They all started at 4. Mm-hmm. Because, you know, at 4 they start like weaving these stories and they start putting, you know, things together. And when you weave stories, here you go. You have Lenormand. You just put the symbols. And when we teach them the symbols, they start like noticing symbols in the world, you know, like how the whole time the universe is talking to us and there's symbols everywhere.
Sure. And also, I mean, both Lenormand and Tarot are deconstructions of the world around us, and they kind of highlight certain things, right? Like, yeah, you know, hey, people are sneaky like the fox, right? Yeah. Sometimes some obstacles are difficult like the mountain, and some obstacles are difficult like the clouds. And they're different, you know, and one is easier to weather and quicker to fix, and the other one might be, you might not want to go that way, you know? And so I think that it gives people ways to think about stuff as well, which is also very fruitful, you know? Because it doesn't have to be tied to anything for them to think those thoughts. They can be like, oh, this is a card of betrayal. Yeah. Where did I see betrayal? How did I feel betrayed?
They don't have these filters that we have, like, you know, growing up. So, and this is, it's still pure. And if you can keep that as long as you can and nurture it, you know, I mean, I think they'll grow up. I mean, they'll do amazing in school and college. I mean, really, imagine you had this tool, you know, and I mean, I grew up in a French system, so we didn't have multiple choice. We have to like write rédaction, which is like essays, and so it's different. But now with the way here that the school system, how it's all like multiple choice, and how it uses a lot of your gut feeling and intuition, and if you don't know the answer, that's what I'm saying.
I'm picturing, you know, somebody sitting at in their classroom and being like, excuse me, teacher, can I use my Lenormand to answer this? You know, A, B, C, D. Oh, you know, I like the fish. The fish is the best card here. We'll check that one, you know, A, B, C, D. Oh, you know, the key. I think that's a good one for this one, you know.
No, I use these tools a lot to strengthen your other abilities, your gut feeling, your intuition. But yeah,
totally.
Yeah.
Oh, that's amazing. That's
really what we do for the Oscars here in the house, and when we're like playing around and when we pick, yeah, they start putting cards, and you know, it depends. They all pick cards and see, oh, let's see who's going to win. I do that usually online. I don't know if I'm going to do it this year, but where I do like a competition and pick the cards. But yeah, it's fun. Do it as fun. Oh, and also you can have them exercise when they're watching something. I don't know, let's say Dora or something, you know, pull 3 cards on what this episode's going to be about. And then they're going to see this thing, you know, like let's say, you know, the fox, you know, at the mountain, and then happens to be like in Dora, there was the, you know, Swiper, the fox and the mountain. Then they'll be, oh my God, it's the same. And this is what it's exactly talking. So this is like these little exercises they can start doing by, you know.
I think that's great too. Even if you're an adult, what's the low pressure, low stakes way to play this game? You know, I just did a contest recently where I locked a tarot card into the safe that I have here. And I asked everybody to guess, and anyone who got it right would win a prize, right? Yeah. And, you know, so it's this easy chance to be like, huh, I think this, you know, or I think that. And there's no consequence, right? As you say, when you're sitting down with a client, and especially if you're a professional and you're, you know, there's all this pressure on you to like be right or to be helpful or to be whatever, you know, it can, it can kind of tense up those muscles, which need to be relaxed, right?
Exactly. So if you work these muscles all the time, you can just run very easily because you're already practicing. And that's why I'm always saying practice, 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 all the time, practice. I still practice, you know, even though I'm doing reading all the time, you know, sometimes I'm like, okay, I'm going to see this movie. I'm just curious. I'm going to pull cards. So it's, you always have to keep it going. I mean, it doesn't, it's like a muscle, I think. You always have to keep it working.
For sure. Absolutely.
Yes, go teach the kids.
Awesome.
Okay.
I'm totally excited about Lenormand now, and I've been getting into it. And you have a book coming out.
Yes.
Tell me about it, please.
Yes, yes, yes. So my book is coming out in March. I just got the preview copy, and I just absolutely love it. Mm-hmm. It's beautiful. It's gorgeous. It's totally me. You're going to... Oh, I really put my heart and soul into the book, like literally. I poured everything into the book, and it's all me. It's not your regular how-to book. Mm-hmm. It's like basically just it's me. It's my experience with the deck. It's how I got to learn how to do the cards and what the cards are to me and how they played in my life, every card. And so this is what this book is about. And I mean, I go through everything from teaching the cards to teaching different spreads to the grand tableau, to my little, you know, tweaks and little insights here and there and little tricks. I have a lot of tricks in there. And so you're going to see a lot of me in there. I have a person that reviewed it and they were like, oh my God, it's totally you. There's a lot of shopping. So, yeah. So there's going to be some shopping in there, some stories about shopping. So yes, it is, it's Rena. So
it's just a wonderful thing.
Yeah. It's not a 1+1=2 kind of thing.
Mm-hmm.
It's great. It's going to be out of, I think beginning of March, I think, when I start shipping them out.
Nice. Well, I'm totally planning on having them in my store. And if people want to track you down and hang out with you, where's a good place to look for you? Well, how do they find you?
.com is just go to my website. I usually keep it up to date of where I'm going, what I'm doing. This weekend I'm going to San Jose to do my first book signing, and I'm doing almost full-day workshop.
Amazing.
Jose at East West Bookstore. And I'm going to be in New York for Reader Studio. So really, you'll find me at RenaGeorge.com. You'll find me on Facebook. And now I joined Instagram. So there are people like, this is, you know, my son's telling me, oh, you got to do this. You got to do that. I don't tweet yet. So I don't know. Eventually, maybe. I don't know. But you never know. There's all these different... but so far, it's RenaGeorge.com or Facebook, and you'll get all my info of what's going on.
Perfect. Well, thank you for being on here.
Thank you. Thank you for having me.
So this was the Hermit Flint Podcast with Rena George. I'm Andrew McGregor. If you would like to follow these podcasts, which are going to start to be a lot more frequent, please subscribe to my blog or subscribe in iTunes. You can find out all about either of these options at thehermitslamp.com. And of course, if you are on Facebook or Twitter or any of those lovely places, I would love to hear from you. Please find me and hang out with me there if you're looking for more ongoing tarot fun.